Okay, Father, thank you once again that you just delight in sharing life to us, imparting into our hearts, and you just the reality of your goodness and just reaching out and making everything available for us, and we can receive by faith all your perfections. We can receive you. And so we want to just receive, Father, what you're giving to us and what we have in your Son, Jesus, what we have in the reality of being in union with your Son, coheirs with your Son, the reality, Father, of being your child. So we want to say thank you, Father, as you share and open up more and more of what we actually have, this incredible inheritance that we have. And so we want to thank you as you, by your Spirit, speaks to us in such unique individual ways, but also corporately as a family, and we bless you for that. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for your way of communicating, your way of imparting life to us, your way of just, in a sense, just raising us up and giving us hope. And it's amazing your ability to touch our lives. And so we receive your full ministry in every aspect this morning. And we praise you for this. Lord Jesus, you're so awesome. What a delight. What a joy. What an incredible love offering when you came and you said, here I am, Father, send me. Because you were so generous in giving of yourself that we could experience what you had been experiencing all eternity. So we want to thank you for that. We can partake in this. We can, even now on this planet Earth, we get tastes of it. We get an aspect of the reality of it, and so much more awaits us. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, as you lead us, as you teach us, as you show us the joy of salvation, as you show us the benefits of salvation. And we just honor you this morning. You're truly worthy to receive our praise and worship. You are worthy for us to spend the time to listen to you and receive the value of truth that you are sharing with us this morning. And we thank you for your honor and for your glory. We say these things this morning and we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Great stuff. Good. Well, last week, We were speaking from Isaiah chapter 61, and we were speaking about the goodness of God. And the definition I used for the goodness of God was this one. It's all of God's perfect qualities are made freely available to all for the benefit of the whole world. Now just grasp that for a moment. All of God's perfect qualities are made freely available to all people. Okay. And it's some receive, some don't receive because they don't want it. But that's, you can understand the grace of God. It's all made available. All of God's perfect qualities are made. His perfect love, his perfect mercy, his perfect, everything about God is freely made available for all mankind, for the benefit of the whole world. And, that's why we can say God is good. And we understand when the psalmist writes, taste and see that God is good. And so we were discussing that a bit last week in the understanding of Isaiah chapter 61 and how it's sort of so wrapped up in the goodness of God for humanity, for the whole world to be able to experience the perfect qualities of our Creator, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so during the week, I woke up, I think it was maybe Friday morning, or I can't quite remember now, but I woke up. Incredible scripture that we know so well in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed, to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those justified, he also glorified. And it carries on about the reality of being more than conqueror. Now, this is a very incredible verse. Now, Jesus gives us a parable in Luke 13. And he gave this where a man had planted a fig tree and it was growing in his vineyard. And for 3 years, the owner of the vineyard came and looked for the fruit of that fig tree and he found no fruit. And the gardener said to the owner, please, one more year, let me fertilize it, let me do what I must do and dig around it and just whatever I must do. And then next year, if it doesn't bear fruit, then cut it down. But not before that. Give me another year. And it's interesting that it's the 3 years because it's speaking about the reality of Jesus being in the midst of the Israelites and so forth. And the Father's looking for the fruit. But I felt that that's what our Heavenly Father is doing this morning. This is what our Lord Jesus is doing this morning. He's imparted us. Remember, the message of the kingdom is that seed that goes into the heart. And he's looking, he wants us to bear fruit. He's looking for the fruit of what he's been speaking to us over some time. And our Lord is, in a sense, saying, Father, just hold on a sec. I'm going to once again just take out some weeds of lack of understanding, or maybe there's a weed of just a bit of confusion or a weed of doubt or unbelief, whatever the case may be. And so our Lord Jesus, once again, by the Holy Spirit, is just really helping us so that what he has shared will truly bear much fruit. Okay. And so that's what's happening. And that's why, I think all of us are experiencing a shaking, and a lot of the shaking is shaking unbelief from us. He's shaking mindsets and concepts and many, many things from our lives. Because sometimes a tree needs a good shake to get all the dead stuff off and then let those leaves rather become good fertilizer. But anyway, we're experiencing our Lord is busy shaking and there's an incredible reason, because it's time to bear fruit, and more fruit than what we have ever experienced before from our lives. And so here in this incredible Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know, just that word, and we know, is, it's such an assurance. We know it's not head knowledge. This is an experiential reality of knowing that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so as the Holy Spirit started to impress this in my heart for us this morning, he started to take me to the beginning of the chapter, because to live in the reality of that verse 28, we've got to understand verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and so forth, because verse 28 is following on an incredible teaching from Romans 5, 6, 7, and chapter 8. And that's why we spent a lot of time in Romans chapter 5 and 6 previously, beginning of last year sometime. But now there's the fruit. Now the gardener is gardening and just helping to fertilize so that what he shared with us in the beginning about our union with him, we can now begin to live in that reality and bear the fruit of knowing the goodness of God, of knowing our mind has been trained, our mind has been renewed, and we are learning now to really live in the truth of that. Now, to bring it from the fridge magnet quotation into our reality, understanding verse 1 onwards is crucial. Otherwise, if there's no acceptance of what Paul is writing in chapter 8, verse 1, 2, 3, 4 onwards there, we won't enjoy the reality of verse 28. It'll stay a fridge magnet. It'll stay a quotation. It'll stay something that you and I often will share in a time of crisis, but we don't actually believe it. We're quoting it, and hopefully it's going to be true for us, okay? But that's no real. And a word that has been used, and if you can recall when we spoke about Hebrews chapter 11, about faith, and we saw there that faith, the word that we use there, faith, is the substance. You see, and so everything about what God is doing is to bring this Romans 28 into our reality as a substance, not just as a knowledge, but as a substance for you and I to partake in, to live in, to build our lives upon a solid substance that is foundational, and so that we can live, we can move into the tomorrow, firmly established on an eternal substance that comes with this gift of faith that we are able to now live. And so many of us now are experiencing, I can speak about substance, I can speak about faith being the substance, but you've got to experience it to know what I'm talking about. You've got to experience to know what Jesus has imparted into our lives. And so that's what he's doing, so that the word of God, as he speaks into our lives, we will not only have the understanding, but it'll be that substance, and we are partaking in a divine substance that is solid, that is more real than anything else that we have ever experienced before. That's how real, that's how genuine this goodness of God is. That's how genuine is the love of God and the mercy of God, everything about God. It is more real. And he's wanting us to really understand and enter and to know that all things work out for the good because of the impartation of his faith in our lives, that substance that's in our lives, so that no matter what we're facing, we are not easily blown away now because we are established on a substance that is real. And as you experience the reality of the substance that comes with this gift of faith, you will find over there that, as you were saying there, Mandy, earlier on there, you take one day at a time, because now there is that assurance. Now that you've got the reality of the substance of God's goodness, you've got everything. You know God's got your back. You know that all things are working for the good for those who love him. It's a guarantee. It's a rest. It is your life is established on that now, and you're not easily moved because you've got that, that's within you. And that's why the acceptance of this, because there's a faith reality that our Lord is imparting into us. There's impartation day taking place for you and I to be able to receive something that's going to change everything in our lives. And so here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul writes over there, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Before we go on, because we need to understand something here. Remember when John chapter 3, when they came to Jesus, that guy came to Jesus and spoke about being born again. And Jesus says over there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to give it eternal life, you see, and to save this world. And so here we see those who believe. So remember something, all the apostolic writing is the unlocking of the teaching of Jesus. There's nothing that they're bringing in that Jesus didn't teach. It's important to grasp that. And so that's why Christ is the cornerstone. The apostles are building upon Jesus Christ. And so Paul is now unlocking that John 3 chapter 16 interesting. He's unlocking John chapter 6, John chapter 7, verse 36, 37, 38 about the streams of the living water. He's unlocking the teaching of Jesus in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, and 17. This whole teaching of his in Romans, he's unlocking that. He's building on that teaching of Jesus so that we can get understanding of what our Lord Jesus was teaching at that time. Okay, so he goes on, and this is verse 2. There, because, this is the reason, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. If we don't grasp this, we won't live in the reality of all things work together for the good of those who love him. We will not walk in, now we know that all things, we won't walk in that knowing and that there. So this one, this is so foundational in understanding this. And so when Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and he speaks to us there about being born again, this is the reality that we looked at in Romans chapter 5, where we saw over there that there's Adam, and Paul is comparing, making a comparison between Adam and between Christ. Because of Adam's disobedience, all mankind was born in the reality of the power of that disobedience. And so that was the humanity reality for all mankind. Because of his sin, all of us die. Okay. And so all of us were born and we had this operating system operating within our lives. That operating system was the law of sin and death. We could do nothing about it. When God gave the law through Moses, all that law did was to make us aware that there's an operating system in us, in our humanity, that the law could not set us free from. It didn't have the power to set us free from. And that is why when Paul writes over there, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weak in the flesh, and that was the reality. And so we all had this operating system in us, all of humanity, that is the law of sin and death, because we had the sin nature, we've got the power of sin, and the result of sin is death. We couldn't get rid of that there. So something had to take place. And that's why when Jesus speaks about being born again, we had to come out of that being in union with Adam, and we had to now come into union with someone else that did not have that law of sin and death operating within him. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are born again. We are taken out of the Adamic reality of that law. And now being born again, we've now received a new operating system. And that is what Paul is speaking about. And this operating system that operates within us is the law of the Spirit who gives life, has set us free. And so that's the law that operates with every believer. And that's why there's no condemnation. So when Jesus speaks there, for instance, in John chapter 7, and he speaks about the reality of the Holy Spirit, and he says, if anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture said, rivers of living waters will flow from within him. He's speaking about the Holy Spirit. He's speaking about the life, this law of life. When he speaks there in John, we can go through John chapter 14, 15, and 16. All about the Holy Spirit. This is what he's speaking about. Paul is unlocking this reality of the law of the Spirit that gives life. Okay. And so that is such a reality for you and I. And so you and I, as we saw there in Romans chapter 6, we are in union with his death. And we are in union with his resurrection. So no longer we who believe, no longer are we in union with Adam. And so the law that operated in Adam's life, we are not in union with it anymore. That has been broken. That's the old man that's been crucified. That's the old humanity that we were. We are now a new humanity, because the thing that's different with you and I is that we have that law of the Spirit that gives life operating within us. And because we've got the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us, and His law that's operating in us, we now can begin to start getting the revelation that all things work for the good, because there's a law of life operating within us that's greater than the law of sin and death that was operating within us. And that's crucial to receive that. And that's why in that Romans chapter 6, when we spend a lot of time of understanding our union with Christ Jesus now, that oneness, so this union with Jesus, there's this new operating system that's operating within us. Now, Paul goes on in Romans chapter 6 and he says, now renew your mind to that. Receive this truth. Take hold of it. And because as you take hold of it by faith, you experience this more and more. Remember when you and I got born again? This was such a reality. We found this law of life operating, and many of us were set free from many, many things that we could never get free of. It was part of our humanity. Okay. But as we continued in life, we started to not keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And then we started to yield once more to the passions of the fallen nature, that flesh aspect over there that Galatians chapter 5 speaks about that there. And that, but there's an awakening taking place, guys. The Father is, there's the Holy Spirit is really touching the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ understands that there's a law of the life, of the Spirit of life operating, and that's our reality, and we have to receive that and now walk with the Holy Spirit, and we now experience the life of God operating within us, that living waters operating within us. And because we're operating on a law of the Spirit of God, as I shared there, now we can, okay, Lord, all things work for the good for those who love you, because of our operation of the Holy Spirit, the law of the Holy Spirit that's living inside of us and working inside of us. Now, that it is such a switch in the mindset that is crucial in all of us. And so we see over here when Paul writes in Romans 8, and he carries on and he says over there, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, as I shared early on, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And that's the reality, as I shared over there, the law didn't have the power to deal with the power of sin. And that's why, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 10, when the writer is writing over there, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, they can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, they would not have stopped being offered. And so we see that's reality for us. That's why there's no condemnation, because that Mosaic law, in God's goodness, in God's grace, he brought in the sacrificial system so that at least once a year the guys could receive forgiveness. But it didn't take away the power of sin operating. They continued to sin the moment that the Day of Atonement carried on, and that, because that was the humanity. But in Christ, we've changed. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus that's got this new law of the Spirit operating within us. Now, guys, part of why our Father is sharing this with us this morning is that this is the reality of the message of reconciliation. Many believers right now are trying their utmost to live as the Word of God teaches, but they're battling, keep on going back to the old habits, keep on falling back to the, it's simply because they need the revelation of the law of the spirit of life that they already have when they got born again. They just need by faith to, wow, God, thank you for that, and start to renew the mind in the truth of who we are now in Christ Jesus, and a new operating system that's operating within us. And we live with this operating system, this incredible law of the spirit. And they need to hear that. So that's part of our message, that we need to help other believers to understand and to be able to receive. Tremendous victory awaits body of Christ that's still trapped in battling in their own ability to change their lives. Tremendous victory is waiting for every believer that is really, as I said, so on this self-effort, changing behavior, self-effort to do whatever. The moment they just learn by faith to accept what Christ has done, what took place, we were born again, and the incredible old operating system that was crucified with Christ Jesus, and in his resurrection and our union with him, we now receive a new operating system, the law of the spirit who gives life. Now, let's stop for a moment, and we can carry on, because in Romans chapter 8, Paul again, he's doing a comparison. He's doing a comparison of the law of sin and death and a comparison of the law of the spirit who gives life. And so we see there, as he goes on over there, concerning that about the minds, those who live according to the flesh, that's the law of sin and death, have their minds set in what the flesh desires. But we who have the law of the spirit that gives life, we have our mind set in what the spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh leads to death, but the mind governed by the spirit leads to life and to peace. And so comparing these two laws operating over there. And so we can always realize, guys, that's not us anymore. We have this incredible life of the Holy Spirit, his law operating within us, that it's a law of life. And so it brings life to my mind. It brings life to my desires. It brings life to everything about me. It's this life of his, this new life, this resurrection life that we have operating in us. And because of that, I can rest in the confidence of this life of the Holy Spirit. Now I know that all things work for the good for those who love God. You see, now there's a deep reality. Now the substance of this law, it's not just a fridge magnet, the substance of the law of the Spirit that gives life. Now I'm in that substance, I'm in that truth, I'm in the reality of that. And that now enables us to have this substance of all things are working out, because there's another operating system in me, and that's the spirit that gives life that's operating in me. And so whatever happening in my life, all the things that are taking place in my life, I can have a mindset that's still based on the old, the negative side, the hopelessness, that leads to condemnation, it leads to death, it leads to all that kind of stuff there. But Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, your life is in me and you're doing something out there. And so I'm living in the reality of your life. That's not a fridge magnet. That's a substance. It's real. It's tangible. The operation of the Holy Spirit within us, which is bringing life. This guys, that's why if we don't take what Paul wrote there in Romans 5 and Romans 6 and Romans 7, and we don't allow that if we don't receive that, we're going to be battling to live in the reality of verse 28 onwards. And particularly when it starts to speak about the love of God and about more than conquerors, et cetera, et cetera. It's not our reality. And so we see over there in verse 10, but if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the spirit gives life because of righteousness. And it carries on over there, all about the Holy Spirit that gives life to us all the time over there. And then carries on over there, if we are led by the Spirit, we are of God, we are the children of God, etc., and the whole reality of father, sonship, being in the family of God, all of these things is the result of the Holy Spirit in us, operating within us, his life that brings Father real to us, that brings relationship with God and him with us real to us. Remember what Jesus speaks about in John 17. This is eternal life. Remember, Jesus says, whoever believes in me will have eternal life. And then Jesus explains what eternal life is. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so this is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. As we believe, we start to know him. We experience God. And that's how we know whether we've got eternal life. So when you're helping other people that don't know God, God is not real, and you know they do not have eternal life. So you know that they need to hear the good news, and you may need to share again the gospel to them. Many believers or many people that call themselves believers don't know the reality of God. They don't know intimacy. They don't know the relationship side with God, because it may have been an intellectual, born again kind of thing, but it's got to be a divine revelation of God and receiving what he has done for you by faith as he works in us and gives you that faith, and you respond in with the faith he's giving you, responding in the grace, and now you're starting to walk in the joy of knowing him because of a new operating system. The old operating system, the law of sin and death, that opposed God, it didn't want to know God. You see, it was cut off from that reality. Us reconciled, Christ brought that back as we get born again so that we can walk with God, we can know him and experience him. And in that knowing the goodness of God, we can have confidence and know that all things work out for the good for those who love him. So guys, there's so much, but I'm going to stop over there because we just need to just to accept and receive whatever the Holy Spirit is imparting about his operating system within us. For me, this is it's like nothing can separate us from the love of God. For me, living in this reality is like we are more than conquerors. There's nothing that we cannot do, you know, kind of thing. It's just because of his greatness, because of who he is, and because his life is our system, it's the operating system within us. It's incredible, but we meet by faith to accept this. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that your life is working. You're the new law operating within me. And I receive that because you're operating within me. I thank you. I've got confidence that my desires are lining up as with your desires. My mind is lining up with your desires. My heart is lining up. Everything is just so lining up there because you are working powerfully within me. So this is a new way of looking at what doctrine speaks about sanctification and understanding the life of the Holy Spirit. It's not us trying to sanctify ourselves. It's us just, wow, this is our inheritance. This is our reality of the Holy Spirit within us over there. So again, guys, let us be established in this. Let us be rooted in this. And how do we know whether we're being established? Is that as we face our day-to-day realities, and we may face incredible blessings, or we may face challenges, makes no difference. You will experience whether you are living in the reality that all things work out for the good for those who love him. You know that because it's a substance. You're living in that substance. There's the peace, there's the joy, there's all that operating, the qualities of the goodness of God. You it's real to you. And you will find hope, you find faith, you find peace, you find rest, all of that stuff from the life of the Holy Spirit. It's a reality to you and I. And so every time we find unrest, we find anxiety, we find all that creeping in there, we know that, well, we're starting to drift away from believing simple faith, and we're moving into unbelief. We don't believe that God is good. We don't believe that we have the Holy Spirit's life operating within us. We're starting to move out of that simple faith and acceptance, just simply believing what God is, who we are in Christ Jesus, and we're drifting away from that over there. Our unbelief, God is shaking, so that we are realizing the unbelief. We are conscious of unbelief, and we can step back into simple faith, who we are in Christ Jesus. And this is going to be a day-to-day reality, moving into unbelief. Holy Spirit brings us back into belief. Moving into unbelief, Holy Spirit brings us back into belief. And that it's part of us growing. It's part of us learning. It's part of us getting a greater revelation of Jesus. It's part of our journey of being established in our Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, the thoughts of doubt, that's not the sin. The sin is when we yield to the doubt and start to participate in the doubt. Because anything that's not of faith is sin. So the thoughts, you take captive straight away. So don't get under condemnation if you're starting to get the thoughts of doubt. It's the participation that we move into with those thoughts that leads to the sin reality of unbelief in our lives. And so that's why the Holy Spirit keeps on reminding us, showing us, making us aware, and we take our thoughts captive, bring it back to the truth, simply by faith to receive. Holy Spirit, you're in me. Thank you. I can rely on your law operating within me that brings life all the time, to bring life where I've got unbelief. And that's the faith reality. So guys, let us be so thankful for the incredible gift of God, the Holy Spirit, that you and I have. What an incredible gift that you and I have. We value the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the person God, the Holy Spirit. And you and I will find that his life within us is going to be so, so precious in the days ahead. And so helping us to really know the reality of the Holy Spirit's life within us, the full expressions of the Holy Spirit is what he's really just establishing within our lives. So let's, as we have communion, let's just celebrate the love of God, the goodness of God in giving us the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, it's better for me to leave. Yeah, it's powerful. There's so much I've got to keep quiet, but just one more thing. When we don't know how to pray, and we see over there where in Romans chapter 8, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, that there is such a big reality. When Jesus said, I'm sending you another one, a helper, this is the law. See, the Spirit cannot do anything. He cannot go against the law of life. He is our helper. He cannot contradict himself. So in our weakness, in our humanity, in our frailty, in our doubt, in our confusion, when we just, Holy Spirit, thank you that you in me, you experience the law. You experience the help of the Holy Spirit. You experience how he enters into the reality of us and pulls us into the life, enables us to partake in his life that's operating in us. And that's the eternal life. That's the life above the natural life. That's the life that is more real than the natural life. And what an inheritance we have. And so let's thank God for his love and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and really just bless the Holy Spirit and the Father and our Lord Jesus, who loves us so much to give us the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Father, this morning we want to just celebrate your generosity in giving us the Holy Spirit. through the prophets long time ago. In Ezekiel, for instance, you already prophesied that a day is coming when you're going to give us a new heart and you're going to put your spirit in us that will enable us to keep your ways. That is the law of the Holy Spirit of life that releases life, that imparts life, that we live in the life of the Holy Spirit. What a powerful law, that death cannot overcome that, that sin cannot overcome that, that circumstances cannot conquer the law of the Spirit that gives life. We are more than victories. We are more than conquerors. Lord, we know because of the law of the Holy Spirit operating that gives life, we know that nothing can separate us from your love, because the law of the Spirit of life it guarantees continuous reality of being loved by you. It guarantees your continuous operation in our lives. It's just such an inheritance, such a deposit, it's such a guarantee for here. You're still walking on this planet Earth in an incredible relationship with you. So, Father, we want to thank you this morning. We dance with joy. We celebrate the in the heavens of all those that have passed on already, that partake in this and know how real it is, for far greater depth than we have experienced right now. But we just join you, Lord Jesus. We join with you, Holy Spirit, just celebrating your life in us, celebrating the victory, Lord Jesus, that you put to death that old Adamic humanity that we were, and in you we are a new creation. We celebrate the new operating system that's in us, and it's the freedom, it is the joy. We celebrate the fruit of the operating system, which is the fruit of the Spirit, and we can see that, and we're celebrating that incredible fruit of life that's within us. It is so profound. And so, Holy Spirit, we yield and we just say thank you as you help us to be able to keep in step with you, enabling us to continue having just the revelation that the old was crucified with Christ. We're no longer that old man. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus with a new operating system that guarantees that all things work for the good for those who love, because we are being transformed into the likeness, into the image of Christ Jesus. So thank you for that life that enables us to be born more and more into the likeness of Jesus. What a place of victory. And so just as Jesus was, so are we. And that's what we're experiencing as your life operates within us and we are being conformed into his likeness. More and more we are seeing that fruit, that evidence. So we release this over the body of Christ in our nation and the nations, Father, that your Holy Spirit will take this and impart this, Father, to the body of Christ, that the body of Christ comes out of the exile of still believing that they're in the old humanity. Show them the promise. Help them to go into the promise in Christ Jesus, the promise of this incredible new creation reality, that they may participate in the inheritance that comes through you, Jesus, and no longer live as slaves. Open their minds to see what you have done, so that they get a renewed mind and say, what are we still doing in slavery? And they can come out of that exile, because, Lord, you've placed them into you, Lord Jesus. We are in you. Holy Spirit, we need you. And so we receive your worldwide ministry to touch the body of Christ where it's needed right now. As if we partake in the communion, Lord Jesus, we are partaking in your blood, sharing in the powerful reality, what your blood has done in that incredible cleansingness, breaking the power of sin, total forgiveness. Don't have to do a sacrifice again. You've done it once and for all. We want to thank you for your body, Lord Jesus, that we can identify that your body and our body were so united in that burial, so united in that crucifixion, but also our body is united into your resurrection body. And so today, as we partake in your supper, we partake in the reality of participating in your death and resurrection for your glory. We thank you for this today. Amen. Amen. I enjoy the communion with the Lord.